I'm gonna try and blow in this.
Oh god!
Hold on.
Should old acquaintance be forgot? This podcast is add this to your list, and y'all better remember that. Welcome everyone to episode 83. What we are coining our best of the decade. Anyway, I'm one of your three wonderful co-hosts, Tom Chubuk. And I'm joined by very good friends, people whom I admire very much for their industry knowledge and expertise and passion, Mark J. Parker and Fumi Sumanu.
That's
very
so sweet.
Nice, Tom. Wow. Can you, like, write that down and frame that somewhere for me?
That's so nice.
I thought I'd turn a new page for the new decade and be less of a see you next Tuesday.
Okay. But let's see how long that lasts.
Okay, so as I said, this is a special episode. This is our best of the decade episode. It is not going to follow our usual order of things. What we are going to do in lieu of housekeeping and headlines is we are going to talk about a general headline or a particular trend or a particular change that we noticed in entertainment this decade. Then we are going to get into our list, but instead of picking something current and recent, we're each going to talk about three things, three items. Could be anything. Could be a movie, TV series, TV episode, play, book, podcast, whatever. We're going to talk about three things that we think deserve to be recognized as among the best pieces of entertainment of the decade. Mm-hmm. And then we are going to, before we wrap it up, we're going to tell you one piece of content that we think was actually the worst, womp womp, of the decade. Sound good? Sound fun? Yeah, we're ready.
I'm so excited for
this. I'm excited too. This will be really interesting because we also don't really know. I haven't seen your picks on our doc because normally we have a doc where we can see each other's items. We just don't know how they fall. This is, we're going in blind, so I like it.
Yep.
All right, so news changes trends. Let's just talk about one particular thing that we noticed as kind of being representative of this decade. Mark, you go first.
Yeah, so the biggest thing that came to my mind, and this is probably like, duh, of course, I thought of this, but I feel like from 2010 to right now, the very end of 2019, the horror genre really became mainstream. And yes, it's becoming more and more popular over the last decades, you know, 80s, 90s, 2000s, but this decade I think it's because of three things. The Walking Dead, American Horror Story, and the Conjuring film universe, and then even the Halloween reboot being so successful. That's a little later in the decade, but at least those three other things, they are so super popular that really brought the genre into total mainstream, where now we're obsessed with true crime podcasts and true crime, this and that. And I feel like, you know, even just a decade ago, people were more like, ooh, there's blood. Oh, I don't know about that. Now people are like, give it to me. You know what I mean? So I just thought that was a interesting trend.
We've seen horror movies make hundreds of millions of dollars at the box office, which it was a rarity that would happen in the past. And now you have movies like Halloween opening to 70-something million dollars on opening weekend, when that used to be the full gross that a horror movie would make.
And I think
so. And It.
Yes, of course, It. Right? It and the Halloween reboot really kind of like brought it really into the final part of the decade mainstream. But it even inspired, you know, a bunch of horror-related TV, which we never, ever had that, right?
Yes. And then, aside from the X-Files, right?
Right, which was like sci-fi creepy, but now, you know, you're seeing people like kill each other on TV and all these crazy things and all these docu-series, right? So I just feel
horror.
Yeah, right? Horror and the macabre and the dark, scary stories are now like mainstream, you know?
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, there's a fascination with true crime, and I feel like people are now more inclined to want to be a little scared, and if you can add scary with a little bit of fun, people really like that.
Yep.
I think as long as it's not like gore, you know, like people aren't into like like rapey, like,
yeah, or like
graphic torture. For just the torture porn. Like, they're not into that. But if it's a good story, it can be a little fun, it can be a little scary. I think people enjoy that. They enjoy, you know, being a little freaked out, but not too freaked out where they're scared to, like, be home alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say the previous decade was when we had, like, movies like Hostel and The Hills Have Eyes, that torture porn stuff was really in, and now people are, like, done with that.
Right.
And if movies do that now, they kind of get panned, and they bomb. Right. So,
and if anything, ghosts are the most popular horror element, I feel like, right?
Don't say too much more.
Okay. Well, tell us, what does that mean?
You'll have to see later on.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, totally, Mark, I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
For me, what stuck out to me most this decade was that this was the first time that we ever really were able to see sequels be a thing for television, right? So sequels have been a thing in movie theaters and in movies for forever. But not until this decade was it ever possible to think that when you put a series to bed, that it could come back 10, 15, 20 years later, and you could continue with the same characters, the same actors, the same story, and just kind of catch up with those characters and see where you left them off. And it works, right? So, like, we had Fuller House. We had the X-Files rebooted. Just shout them out with me, guys. Will and Grace. Roseanne.
Even Tales of the City.
Tales of the City, yes. I mean, this was really just...
L Word, Queer Eye.
Murphy Brown.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, Murphy Brown. And some did well, some didn't, but this was a decade
Beverly
in which...
Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ooh. Even Mad About You, which is on the Spectrum Network? What is that? Or
oh, the reviews are horrible. Yeah, horrible. It's got like a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That seems like a general misfire all around. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, it's on Spectrum? Who has...
Listen, this is a conversation that the three of us have on a regular basis, right? Like, I think that we are excited to see sequels and reboots, and it's interesting to kind of see what these characters, how they've transitioned and grown, and what they look like 20, 30 years later. But, I mean, it got a little excessive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot. Yeah. A lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think the bubble is kind of starting to burst now, and we're seeing that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think people want original content moving into the new decade. I think that we know, like, what the shows were from the 90s, and now we're revisiting that in the 2010s. And now let's get into some fresh new stuff moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, and I think a sign of it bursting is just last week that L Word Generation Q, that reboot premiered on Showtime, and it had only 200,000 people checking in for live viewing.
Oof.
I didn't even know it premiered. Yeah. Where was the publicity for that?
Its rating was like 0.05 or something like that.
Mm. I don't think Showtime did the best job promoting that, too.
No, they did not. Yeah. They did not. Hmm. So...
And sometimes you have such a sequel reboot that is so good, like Roseanne, and then you don't factor in that, you know, your lead may be crazy now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fumi just had to work that in there.
You know?
We haven't forgot. And also, speaking of reboots, I was just looking, because I know we've talked about it before, the Party of Five reboot is about days away from premiering. It premieres January 8th.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, we'll still see a few more trickle in, but you're right, Tom, like, this was the... at least the last like 5 years of the decade were all about bringing these characters back, which it's great. But yeah, then when is it enough? When is it too much? You know?
Yep.
Now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what stuck out to me. Foom, do you have anything or do you want to move on to our list?
No, the reboot thing was for me, though.
Mm-hmm.
For definitely. Yeah.
Got it. All right. Shall we get into our list, guys? I'm
really
excited for this.
Let's do it.
Okay, so I think what we'll do is, since we each have three items, we'll each cycle through number one, number two, and number three. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Fumi, why don't you go first? What was the first thing you wanted to talk about? What stood out to you most?
Okay, so I actually went back and forth with this. Initially, I had chosen for TV Breaking Bad as the best of the decade because, honestly, it was a show that, like, blew my mind. I loved the character development. But... I had to go back and really rethink it. Mm. I have to say, for me, the best of the decade was the Real Housewives franchise.
Oh my god!
I'm out.
Oh my god!
I'll catch y'all in like 5 minutes.
I literally I literally just got chills. Wow, Foom, brilliant.
You know, I really, really had to go back and think, like, this franchise not only brings me so much joy. I love Atlanta. I love New York. Those are my, like, OGs. I never miss an episode. I love all those women. But it has changed pop culture.
Oh, yes.
It has changed the way that we look at reality TV. Mm-hmm. It has been, it is a franchise that has had a moment in practically every major city, whether some of them work out or not.
Right.
It is put Angie Cohen on the map. Mm-hmm. It has put Bravo on the map. It is far and wide.
She can't even speak.
I know. I'm so excited.
She's
far
speechless.
And wide, one of the best things to ever be created. I mean, New York, Atlanta, New Jersey, Miami,
Potomac, Beverly Hills. Uh-huh. And it's revived so many women's careers as well.
Yes.
Which is interesting. And
exactly, Mark, you make such a good point. I mean, these are women who were really, nobody knew who they were prior to them coming on the show. And you have to give these women props because a lot of them have used this platform to really be business women and create businesses and make money for themselves. And a lot of these women, you know, were dependent on husbands or were alone. And they really used this platform as a way of making money and creating something of themselves. So aside from the drama and the reality television aspect of it, and like the shade and the laughter and the fun that we all have, give props to where props is due. Like this show, this franchise, far and wide, like I just loved everything about it, and it gives me joy. Like, it makes me giddy. Like, Mark and I are the housewives people of this little podcast, and we will share clips and articles with each other.
I can't wait to see Erica Jane on Broadway, baby.
Seriously. He introduced me to a new group on Facebook that I live for. Okay,
get ready,
honey,
to get all your time wasted.
Like, lost time, honey. Like, I just loved this franchise. And so, hands down, one of the best things to ever come on television in the past decade, for sure.
Wow. Boom.
And y'all know that I watch a lot of TV. But, I mean, I really had to sit back and think about something that I enjoy watching. Mm-hmm. I look forward to watching. I can watch over and over and over again. Like, I could watch some of these seasons and some of these cities on repeat.
Yeah. Oh, some have major repeat value. And oh my God, yes. I love it. Genius pick. Yes.
Real Housewives franchise. There you go.
And we're about to see Salt Lake City, I guess, sometime in 2020.
Yeah. Can't wait.
It's growing.
It sure is.
All right, we'll be ready for those Mormons. Mark, what do you got? What was your first thing?
Right? Watch out, Mormons. So my first pick is a movie. And this movie, I did a movie and I kind of split it up like our last episode. But my first item is a movie that I think is by far one of the most memorable of the decade. It had some awards nominations, but it transcends the fucking awards, guys. It changed, in my opinion, comedy for the better. I think we are still feeling the effects of this film. And the film is called Bridesmaids, bitches.
I think
Bridesmaids, when I saw it in 2011 in the theater, I was dying. I luckily was, it was a Friday night, probably the last movie I saw on a Friday night in a theater. And packed house, everyone was screaming, howling with laughter. And it had, of course, if you remember, it had heart. It was a movie about a woman that was sort of stuck. So it totally had some great dramatic elements to it. Obviously, a phenomenal cast that has made megastars out of Melissa McCarthy, Rebel Wilson, even Rose Byrne, you know, who had been busy before.
Yep.
But now we know Rose Byrne can do comedy extremely well.
Yeah, she can.
When she was in that role, you never really saw her in a comedy. You only saw her in dramas and like thrillers, you know. Yep. So, and of course, Kristen Wiig, Maya Rudolph. I mean, that movie, wow. Like, that to me has major rewatch value. And when I think of like most memorable of the decade and something that really changed a genre, Bridesmaids, for sure.
It's so funny.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. I loved that movie, and I just remember their marketing, and I'll never forget their poster. I was obsessed with that poster for some reason, because there's them and their bridesmaids looking in front of the brick wall, looking all gangster.
Looking all
I loved it!
Oh, yeah. You knew when you saw that poster, you're like, this is going to be wild. And it exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
So, I just feel like that movie was a game changer, for sure. So, Bridesmaids.
I still have to say that I still say, help me, I'm poor. Like, I still say that.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, the lines
well,
were...
Well, that goes to show the pop culture impact it had.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. Uh-huh.
All right, so I'll go. So the first thing that that stuck out for me when I thought about this decade as far as best content, I'm going to go with the James Wan horror movies.
Mm.
And I mean that as like a whole series, right? From Insidious to Insidious 2 to even Insidious 3 to the Conjuring series. I just thought James Wan came onto the scene and showed that horror is not dead, that there's still fresh angles out there, that you can still make something scary as all hell.
Yeah.
I remember going to see Insidious in the theaters. I was in Florida with my ex, and we had spent the whole day at like one of the Disney parks, and it was opening night of Insidious, and he was just wiped out from doing like the whole Disney thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, no, you know what? I'm going to go, you go to sleep. And I remember taking a cab to Universal City Walk and seeing that movie by myself and being so fucking scared in a way that I had never been scared before in a movie theater. Mm. Maybe I came close during like The Ring or whatever, but I was so impressed with what James Wan is able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, four or five movies later, I mean, so he did two Insidiouses, then he did a Conjuring, then he did another Conjuring, and The Conjuring 2 was still so fucking scary. Mm-hmm. After four movies of directing, he still had something fresh to say and was able to do something with a camera that just sends chills down your back. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the last time we had a director like that other than maybe like Wes Craven, right? So, yeah, I was super, super impressed by James Wan. And I know you guys are huge fans of
him. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy that he came out with Saw, right, in 2004.
Yes.
But this decade really made him a superstar.
A superstar.
Now he's
totally
directing major, huge, massive budget movies because of this success. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did not know James Wan did Saw.
Oh,
I did not know that.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. He did Saw. So he's been around making some, I mean, I don't know if I should say iconic yet, but I mean, at least super memorable new horror. Right?
I'd say The Conjuring is iconic.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I watched the trailer for that movie. And you guys know
Hide and Seek?
Yeah, and I don't get scared. Like, I don't get scared of horror movies. It's not really, like, something that, like, terrifies me. But watching that trailer, I'll never forget, I was sitting in my office, and I watched the trailer, and I was, like, excited and kind of giddy. But it actually terrified me. It made me jump. And I burst out into laughter when that part in the trailer that made me jump, and I immediately sent it to my friends. I was like, you have to watch this. Watch it now. And I watched her watch the trailer, so
I could
watch her jump at the same exact spot. But it was such a good movie. Actually, truly terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
That was a scary movie.
Oh yeah, it's a new classic for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And you know, I still say I really want to see him do a slasher.
Oh yeah, it's
I
coming.
Guess you could say Saw maybe is a slasher, but I'd love to see him do like a serial killer chasing after a group of men or women. Kind of in vain of like Michael Myers and Scream, although he is producing the I Know What You Did Last Summer
so
Amazon.
He might direct a couple episodes or something. Yeah,
true,
so.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my number one. Number two.
Oh, okay. So I picked Beyonce.
I knew you were going to say that.
Really?
Based on last episode. Yeah. Yeah. No, no. And own it, girl. Like,
oh no. Listen, no shame in my game.
Oh, no.
Beyonce, her album, her self-titled album, came out in 2013, and I'll never forget because I was in yoga, and this is the album she dropped without letting anyone know. It just was a surprise to everyone, and I got out of yoga to – I was working at a music network at the time. I got out of yoga to 300 emails and text messages from like 20 people to be like, what is happening? What is going on? She changed the way that music gets released now in current times. And it was her first album for me that really showcased who she was, the maturity, how she was growing up, growing into her own, a woman who was married, who had just had a child. I listened to that album from start to finish. I thought it was a fantastic album. There was not a single song on that album that I didn't love, didn't like listen to repeatedly over and over and over again. And to this day, there are songs from that album that I still love and will play on my iTunes, in my car, driving. It was just such a fantastic album, and props to her for the way she released it. I know a lot of, she was getting a lot of flack from her fans because people were getting frustrated with her for not releasing new music. Mm. And unbeknownst to all of us, she was making new music and creating videos while she was on tour, and nobody knew. Like, think yeah. about that.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. She was creating an entire music album and a visual and album, and nobody knew.
Uh-huh.
And then she did it again with Lemonade, right? So, mm-hmm. like, she did it twice.
Yeah, it's crazy. It was truly, truly, truly crazy. So,
and that inspired, like, Netflix and a lot of things now where they do surprise releases yes. at midnight of movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
whatever. How many people drop albums now out of nowhere?
Out of like, nowhere. And they never did that before Beyonce. They yeah. never did that before Beyonce. Before Beyonce, you released music, I think, on a Thursday or Friday of a certain
yep.
time.
No,
month.
I feel like Tuesday,
it was like
right?
Tuesday.
It was Tuesday,
and there were
yes.
months of yep. promotion, all yes. the interviews.
Yeah, there was a protocol and a way of doing things, and she did it, and it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I still get chills thinking about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Mrs. Cool. Carter, yeah.
Mark?
Okay, so my number two is TV, and I had a very, very, very hard time trying to pick one TV show, so I'm going to do things a little differently. I'm actually focusing on a specific TV network that I think had a great decade, specifically for me, in their 30-minute format, comedies and 30-minute kind of dramedies, and that's HBO. I think HBO, as we know, has always...
Interesting.
HBO has always churned out successful, well-made, great stuff. I mean,
yeah.
we're not a Game of Thrones podcast, but sure, whatever. You like it, I'm sure it's good, whatever. But like, back to Sex and the City, Six Feet yeah. Under, those days, and even this last decade, shows like Togetherness, Veep, Enlightened with Laura Dern before her big Little Lies moment. Enlightened was really good. The Comeback, season 2 with Lisa Kudrow. Coming back 10 years later, that season was amazing. I love, you know, even show like Curb Your Enthusiasm came back and was great. Yeah. They do, of course, you know, Room 104 and other shows. And then you
Looking.
Get in. Yeah, Looking, which I didn't love, but I know Tom did and a lot of people did. But I just wanted to give love, especially to their half-hour format, because it gets a little lost with all the big one-hour dramas.
Mm-hmm. It sure does, yeah.
You know, and especially...
High maintenance.
High maintenance, of course. Like, they are not afraid to... And isn't Insecure? That's a half-an-hour show, isn't it?
Love it,
yeah.
Insecure. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. Right? So they, I mean, don't get it twisted. They do great one-hour dramas, but they have done solid half-an-hour shows. Even those that were short-lived, like Enlightened, Togetherness, like only two seasons, still, they pack a punch. And I just feel like when I look back at TV, like, I think I was the most moved by those shows. And then, of course, the dramas as well. But HBO always gives good stuff. So
yeah, they're not afraid to push the envelope. And really try yes. things new and different. So
yeah, and really just well-made stories. Because it was hard, because I also thought Comedy Central had some great shows this decade. And I also thought FX with, you know, obviously American
Absolutely.
Horror Story, but even American Crime Story and
yep.
Fargo. I mean, FX really brought us, and I never really watched, but The Americans I know was amazing. So I was having a hard time. But to me, personally, HBO, there's always something there that, like, hooks me and is well-made. You know, even Euphoria, like we said, like, there's just such a great... creative, like, fulfillment there.
Energy.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm yep. going to give it to HBO.
I think that's a nice segue into my number two item, because for me, while the whole series may not have stayed at peak, to me, True Blood was one of the best things that I saw this decade, and that's my number two pick.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Definitely. To me, True Blood was something so fresh and original, right? Like, vampires and werewolves and witches, that stuff is centuries old, right? That mm-hmm. that's always been, whether it's been in novels or early black and white movies or movies in the 50s and 60s, that kind of genre has always been around, always been entertaining. But this was really the first thing to kind of blend it all together, to make it really envelope pushing, like Fumi said, to make it sexy, to make it funny, mm-hmm. to make it really spooky. You put Anna Paquin, who was an Oscar-winning actress at 8 years old, as Fumi said 2 episodes ago. You put her in a lead role that she was, to me, literally born to play. Mm. You take somebody like Lois Smith to play Sookie's grandmother, who's a veteran actress
oh,
who I just
yeah.
saw on stage 2 weeks ago in The Inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved True Blood. You had a black gay character being
yeah,
one of the leads, which
peace.
Is so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, R.I.P. Nelson Ellis.
Yeah.
such a good actor. I just, it made Rutina Westley's career, and she's thriving now on Queen Sugar. Mm-hmm. I just really remember thinking back, and it always premiered in the summer, so I remember summers to me always meant, like, Warm Nights, Fireflies, and True Blood. And I remember when it was on, like, literally everybody on my Facebook would be talking about it.
Yeah.
It just stuck with me in a way that no show ever did. And like we said, you know, the later seasons might not have been good as the earlier ones, but when you look back overall, it was pretty groundbreaking in my opinion. Mm. And I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely memorable, yeah.
Yeah, I loved the show too. My third pick is Hamilton.
Oh, interesting.
I still have not seen Hamilton.
Oh, you haven't, Tom? That's surprising.
Yeah, it is.
Really expensive.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's worth it, honestly. I have never been moved by something I've seen live before like I was Hamilton. I was just in awe by the fact that that came out of, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name.
Lin-Manuel Miranda,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Completely in awe that that came out of his mind and his brain. I just was, it was truly, it's fascinating. I was so intrigued by the play because everybody was talking about it and saying it was like the best thing I've ever seen. I made a point of, you guys know I like to spoil myself, I didn't want to know any of the music.
Oh, wow, cool.
I wanted the first time I heard anything to be on stage.
Yep, I agree,
and
good.
And once I saw that performance and I heard that music, I was just floored. I was completely and utterly floored. I love history. I love music. I love entertainment. The way that all of that synergized together to create something and to teach people something was truly, truly fascinating. And the way that he turned it and created a multicultural minority cast to play all of these white historical figures. It was just blew me the F away. Like, I cannot wait for Hamilton to be on the screen so that millions of other people can be able to see what he created. Because I truly think that if you do have the opportunity to see it on stage, you should. Mm-hmm. Because major props to these actors who basically are able to perform the way that they perform on stage. But for it to be able to go to the masses and for people far and wide to be able to see this, I was, I still listen to that album to this day. Like, I love it.
Think about how it spawned the freaking, the album that Kelly Clarkson contributed to and so many other artists.
The mixtape,
right? That cover album. Yeah, the mixtape.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And the mixtape is good, but I honestly really, I have a special place in my heart for the original
album
soundtrack.
I'll still listen to it, like, from start to finish. Do not skip a song. I'll listen to that whole 2 hour thing. Like, Hamilton is honestly one of the best things I've ever seen on Broadway, honestly.
And Foom, did you see it in New York or did you see it in LA?
I did, and I saw it in LA.
Cool.
So I didn't even get to see it with the original cast, which, I mean, the talk about an expensive ticket, honey. But the one in Pantages, it was like its first kind of touring that it did. And I got lucky with my tickets because friends of mine are like obsessed with plays. And so they ended up getting like this deal at Pantages, and I was able to get a ticket that wasn't like astronomical. But It was just done so well, so good. I was just in awe.
Yeah.
Completely in awe of it.
I remember when I saw it, I went with Jackie, and my mutual friend Jackie, who I don't think she listens, but hi, Jackie. She got me a cheap ticket front row because it was Rush. It was like a Rush ticket. So, Tom, maybe try that if they still do cheap Rush tickets. And Hillary Clinton was there in the audience. So
that's crazy. No,
cool. Was it Hillary or was it Michelle Obama? I'm blanking now, but a famous female politician was there. It was just amazing. Yeah.
It was.
It was just so damn good. Okay. Is it my turn? Okay. I think it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
So for my number three, I'm going with a musician, someone who had a big 10 years. No, it's not Gaga. I thought that would be kind of an obvious choice. I think she had a solid, amazing, I mean, hey, I love her. I was just talking about her with friends the other day, trying to pick her, you know, our top three songs of hers. I mean, she maybe is like the real star for me, but I'm going to give some love to someone who's a tiny bit more of an underdog, but who for me and for many others out there, I think she has churned out hit after hit. She is keeping the party going. She went through some terrible shit and was able to make some great music from it. And so I'm going to give love to Kesha. And hear me out.
Okay.
I'm going to give love to Kesha because TikTok, her first single, which, love it or hate it, that song, you all know, back 10 years ago when that was released at the end of 2009, already 10 years ago, everyone was singing it. You loved it. Maybe now you hate it. But that song was on everyone's mind, right? That was like, who is this crazy, dirty girl with this great song?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And she has kept the party going, honestly, ever since. She has churned out. She's only really had 3 albums over the 10 years, but has had so many singles, whether they were by herself or with, you know, Flo Rida or Pitbull, Timber. I mean, Timber was iconic, you know? And, I mean, everything from We Are Who We Are to Die Young to one of my faves, Come On, and then later with Praying after her ordeal with
Dr. Mike.
Yes, yeah. With Dr. Luke, right?
Dr. Luke, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and just, I have loved all of her albums. I mean, even, you know, the stuff on the radio and then a lot of this more obscure stuff, really good stuff. And it's something for everyone. I feel like she's not just the party girl. She's got like some interesting things to say. So I just wanted to give some love to someone who might not normally get love, you know, when thinking about like best of the decade. But like to me, I think she had a pretty awesome first 10 years of her career. I'm excited to see what she'll do next because she's freaky and does cool, wacky things.
Do you think film is in her future?
Maybe. I don't even know. I feel like I've never seen her live, but I've heard it's almost like immersive theater. Like, it's like,
wow.
It's like next level.
I can see that.
You know what I mean? Like, paints in the air and like, you know. So I just wanted to give her some love because I know I've played her music and I always have a good time, whether it's happy or sad, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my number 3 is also a musician, and I was kind of late to the game on this dude, but he has also had quite the 10 years, and he is probably bigger than Kesha, probably as big as Lady Gaga, to that kind of level. But we all know his music, because it was played at countless weddings. I'm going to go with Ed Sheeran.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
my number 3 pick for the decade. I was really impressed by him.
Totally.
And I love how eclectic he is, right? So he's a pop artist at his core, but he tries to do something so fresh and innovative with a genre that's been around for forever. And to me, he kind of reinvigorated ballads, because ballads had kind of died for a little bit. And he just writes such beautiful music. And I love his backstory, too, how he was literally living homeless on the streets in London at one point, trying to make it big. And then was it Puff Daddy or somebody found
Jamie
him?
Jamie Foxx. He lived in Jamie Foxx's couch.
Jamie Foxx. There we go. Yeah. Jamie Foxx found him and gave him a chance. And, like, look where he is today. And he takes his time with music. I think he's had 3 albums, right? Or 4.
He's had a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's 4. I think he had 1 before he started doing Plus, Multiply, and Divide. So he's had 4 albums over 10 years, which isn't a lot. It's, you know, it's not like overkill. And he continues to impress me with every single album that comes out. And he
you
takes some time
6
after a while,
collaboration.
Too. Oh, right. Number 6, Collaborations. Yes, yes. Which is an awesome album. It was probably my favorite of 2019 if I were to have to pick a favorite album of the year. But I'm excited to see where he's going. He's starting to kind of break into film and TV to himself, so there may be some expanding his career, right? He had that little stint on Game of Thrones that people made fun of, but then he was in an episode of Modern Love as kind of like a little surprise guest, and then he did one other show too recently, and it's I can't think of it.
He was in that movie Yesterday, which I haven't seen yet.
Yes,
but,
that too, but
himself.
He did another TV show.
Okay.
And I can't think of it. So I feel like he's trying to stretch his legs and like kind of go into new territory, which I always think is great when an artist does that, much like Gaga, right? She ventured into film in this decade. I just always think it's great for them to try and grow and do some new things. Because I think it influences their music in the end, right? They can write about those experiences and turn them into a story for us to listen to in the form of music. So yeah, Ed Sheeran, totally impressed by him.
Yeah,
it took me a minute to appreciate him.
Me too.
But when I did, he's really good. He plays every instrument. He writes.
Yeah.
Incredible. He's incredible.
Have you seen him live? He's amazing.
I was gonna say, yeah, I saw him live once, and it was a good show. It's really just him. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
talented. And he like beatboxes and does just everything with his mouth and his hands, and it's just it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that was our best of the decades.
Those were good picks.
Guys, we had some really good picks, mm-hmm. I have to say.
Some really memorable things and people, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now, not to end on a downer, but let's turn to the worst of the decade. What is one thing that you just were not feeling this decade? Fumi, you go first.
I'm laughing because we're not a political podcast, but I just had to go here.
Oh, boy.
I had to do it. I was not feeling Fox News this decade. I feel like they are responsible for a lot of the issues that we have in this country. They're responsible for the president, the current president of the United States. And I'm just not going to even really give them much more time of mine. I don't watch them, but I just am not a fan, and I'm really not a fan of their primetime lineup, and yeah, if Fox News went away, that'd be cool.
Oh, well, wow, love that.
I love that, Foom. Foom, are you going to go see that? Bombshell?
Oh. Yeah.
I wanted to see it Friday night. That shit was, like, sold out.
Oh. Was it really?
And it was, like, a 9 o'clock showing. I was just leaving dinner, and then we were like, let's go to the movies. Like, no seats left.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm gonna go see it.
Wow.
I forgot. Yeah,
I think I'm gonna see it this coming Friday.
Yeah, when it's wide, because right now it's, I think, only... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Cool. Shall I go next?
Yes.
Okay, so
si, senor.
I also have a TV-related thing. It's a show. I don't want to call it the worst, but I want to instead just rephrase as most disappointing progression, if I may. So the most disappointing progression, because it started off extremely strong, but as of right now, guys, it's fucking garbage. And that is American Horror Story. So this goes back to my headline, actually. The only downside of something becoming mainstream is that, you know, it starts to kind of lose its oomph, right? Mm-hmm. So as much as I'm happy...
It wears out its welcome.
Right. And so as much as I was waiting for horror to become mainstream. I'm like, told ya, all you people just now getting into it, told ya. But American Horror Story, and even to an extent like The Walking Dead, but at least that kind of remains consistent. American Horror Story, as we know, you know, started off with a bang. Seasons 1 and 2, and even 3 with Coven, like those were talked about. They were scary. They were something, right? And I don't know if it's just the different themes each season or what, but this last season and the last couple for me, like the last 3, and even Hotel, like I just feel like when that show is low, it is lower than low. It is stupid. It is boring. It is pointless. And ultimately it is not worth my time. And I don't have much time at home to be giving to content. You know what I mean? Especially then to talk about it on the show. Like, I just feel like, how dare you? So, for real, like, you know,
and you loved the start of this season.
I don't know if I loved it. I was into it. I was curious. And
what was this season?
Exactly. 1984.
Exactly. Oh, that's right. 1984. I don't know if I loved it, but I was into it. It was fun. I was like, okay, this is gonna like spin it around. And
nope.
The only thing that spun around were my eyes rolling back up into my head.
Yeah. No major twist.
Did you guys even finish the season?
No, I did not.
I went back and watched the rest of it, but I hate watched it, you know? Yes, like, I wasn't enjoying it at all.
Exactly, Foo, me too. I watched all of it. I don't even really remember it, because I just put it on just to be like, this is such garbage.
Exactly, it's so stupid. But, you know, it's such an interesting pick, Mark, because either that show is either so good or so bad. There's no happy
and no
medium.
In-between.
There's
no
medium with there. Because I remember I was ready to give up right before Roanoke. And then
Roanoke came on, and I loved it.
Yeah,
was a highlight. Yes.
Yeah, I got so excited. I was like, oh my God, it's back. And then I don't even remember the one that came on after that. And I was just
cult,
like, ugh.
Cult.
The political one, yeah.
That one is the worst season to me.
Oh, really? See, that's bad, but Hotel for me is by far the worst. But honestly, this 1984 is like almost on the level of Hotel for me. Like, just what a waste of time.
Yeah.
Not even my time, the actor's
time. It had nothing
time.
To say.
Yeah, nothing. Like... It's just so I know obviously it's back next year, but like I don't know what to say other than like stop wasting our time. Like, does it need to be just a 3-episode miniseries? I mean, it's not scary. It's not it shouldn't be funny. I'm not there to laugh. I'm there to get scared. It's called American Horror Story. So that's just my say. It's definitely not I don't want to call it the worst of the decade because it was good at times, but just in the current state, it's just pointless and worthless and dumb. So,
yep.
There you go.
Okay. So for me, the worst, I'm going to pick a musician, and I'm going to give a little backstory first. So I'm a Jersey boy.
Hey.
Which means that I grew up listening to KTU, which was a dance station, right? Yep. So like my teenage high school years and even early college years,
yeah,
I was
college.
Totally.
I remember.
I was, yes.
I remember
yes.
you.
I was oh totally God. Into my dance music, right? Deborah Cox, Reina,
oh
Lucas
God,
Prada, Cascada. Like, if I'm throwing these names out at you and you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm done with you.
Oh my God.
Like, I got no time for you. Okay? But back then, dance music was good. It had something to say. The vocals were beautiful. They had rushing beats that you threw your fists up in the air to,
this
Jersey Guido style.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then I feel like this decade, dance music changed and it became obnoxious and grating. And I attribute it to one DJ in particular. And that DJ is Skrillex.
I knew okay. you were going to say
think,
Skrillex.
Yeah, I had a feeling this was... Okay.
I think he is the worst musician of the decade. because to me, he ruined dance music. And he made it... Like, he changed dance into EDM. And I don't... I'm not feeling EDM. Like that wah, 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 wah. Like, you know, like that... Like, like, give me my Deborah Cox. Yeah, like,
that is so funny.
That
Tom,
is funny.
I know exactly what you mean, like the dance music
yes.
of like our college years, but even that to me wasn't great. I think the best dance music is like a little more, not even underground, but like a little more like alternative dance, like the Robin and like, you know, all that stuff. But it's interesting. Yes, yeah, Skrillex, I totally agree. I don't even think you can call that dance music. That's like
screamo. I don't know what you can call that. That is like headache inducing.
Yes.
Nausea music.
It's like a computer that is malfunctioning.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's crazy.
Spot on. Yeah.
And the first time I heard a Skrillex song, I was not even to be funny, I was extremely confused. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
It's a violation. Oh, yeah.
And he's incredibly popular still. And I'm like, why?
No.
Like,
strange.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I miss my dance music. I honestly don't love music from this decade. I think a lot of things sounded homogenous.
Mm-hmm.
I think music started sounding very much the same.
Well, I think electronica kind of permeated through a lot of genres
yes.
of music.
Yeah,
which
country
maybe
music, right? A lot of people say it ruined country music and started the whole bro country phase. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're right. Electronica became mainstream,
mm-hmm.
much like horror.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a downside to it. And
yeah.
the downside is that, like, a lot of things just sounded the same. And I'm ready for some original sounding music again.
Mm.
In the
speaking,
new decade.
Speaking of dance music, I'm ready for Calvin Harris to, like, make some more music. Because his dance music is always pretty
good.
Yeah,
great. His stuff is good. Yep,
yeah.
His stuff is really good. Armin van Buuren is still very good. But, like, where are the Deborah Coxes and Reinas and Cascadas? Like, where did they go? Bring them back. Because they had good voices, and their songs were pretty, and the songs told a story. Like,
I think we got, like, Kesha, Ariana Grande, Gaga
Katy
to an
Perry.
Extent. Like
Perry,
pop stars became electronica stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, cause yeah, even like Rihanna for a while there was doing like, you're gonna make me feel like,
well,
I
that was good.
Like great, mm-hmm. great stuff, you know, but then like dance became actually like pop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Anti-Skrillex. I'm right here with you. I agree.
Totally.
Good.
And
yeah.
I think Fumi's right there with me too.
So. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all end the decade agreeing on something, so that's
ooh,
good.
Ooh, wow.
Woo! Well, that's it. That's our episode for the year.
Yeah.
For the decade. We will see you in 2020.
2020!
2020!
The future
yes.
is now, baby.
Yes, and no. Two, we don't want to hear, what is it? We don't want to hear 2020, right? Didn't we establish last year?
I am going to put this out there. I'm going to put this out there. If I hear anyone say 2020... Oh my God! Stop listening to the podcast.
Dead to you.
Defriend me. We are not. We are not speaking. No. Embrace it. 2020. It's Barbara Walters. This is 2020.
This
embrace
is 2020.
It. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
None of this thousands. We're in the 20s, baby.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are. But on a serious note, one good thing about this decade is that podcasting became popular, and it's allowed us three to really channel something that we're really passionate about and hopefully find people who care as much about entertainment as we do. Mm-hmm. For anybody that has stuck around with us for all 83 episodes, thank you so, so, so very much.
Yeah.
We hope you join us for the ride in the new decade and keep listening. We're going to aim every week to give you stuff that's funny and engaging and entertaining and give you recommendations that we think you'd like. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Ali, Jay, and Greg for getting us off the ground and enabling us to do what we do. Mm-hmm. We've been on for 3 years now.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Going into a third year.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think we've done some cool things. Fumi and I have been to Toronto. I'm going to South by Southwest. Mark has done some pretty cool things, too. And Mark and I have a big year ahead of us with a film that we've produced. Mm-hmm. So hopefully add this to your list will be a big part of promoting that film.
Yeah.
That short film.
Yeah.
And, just thanks. Thanks, everybody. Follow us. Subscribe to us. That way you know whenever we have new content. And chat with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Tell us what you loved about the decade, what you hated, what you're looking forward to.
And send us ideas for 2020, because we got more episodes to make.
We sure do.
We sure do. But that's it.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Oh, the noisemaker.